Early in the morning, before the sun had fully risen, a group of women made their way to the tomb. They brought spices, not because they expected a miracle. They, unlike us, didn't have the news that we have. We know how the story ends, don't we? But they did not. They were expecting a corpse, a dead body. They thought Jesus was dead and they were going to honor him. They had seen Jesus die. They had watched from a distance as he breathed his last. And because the Sabbath had come, they waited to tend to his broken body with care and honor, the way that women had done for generations. This is not the Easter parade we usually imagine. This isn't trumpet blasts and lilies. This is grief and routine. This is the heaviness of death. But the women don't find a body. Instead, they find it empty. The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. And then the question, why do you look for the living among the dead? It's a question that echoes throughout history. It cuts to the core of who we are. We keep looking for life in places it can't be found. We return to what we know, what is predictable, even if it's broken. We cling to the status quo. We trust what we perceive to have always been. Because resurrection, that's terrifying. That's new. That's unknown. Resurrection defies logic, even for the ones closest to Jesus. When the women come back with this news, what do the disciples say to them? Luke says they thought it was an idle tale. But as I've reminded you in the past, the Greek word is actually much stronger and probably isn't appropriate for me to say from the pulpit. So I'll just say rubbish. Let's say rubbish. Nonsense, garbage, insert stronger word there. That's a bunch of rubbish, is basically the response to the women when they came back from the empty tomb. And can we blame them? I don't think we can. We're told that the women's testimony isn't enough, even though they've been there the entire time. They've followed Jesus, supported his ministry, stayed at the cross, watched the burial. Now they're the first witnesses to the resurrection. And surprise, surprise, no one believes them. No one believes them. Not until Peter, the same guy who denied Jesus three times, runs to the tomb himself. There's something upside down here, and that's the point. Resurrection is upside down. It undoes what we thought we could count on. Theologian Anna Carter Florence says, "If the dead don't stay dead, what can you count on?" And that's the question Easter leaves us with, not comfort, but disruption, not proof, but witness. Theologian Fred Craddock reminds us, faith is communicated by witness, not certainty, not control, proclamation. The women remembered what Jesus had told them, and they proclaimed it. And that's where resurrection becomes real, in remembering, in testifying, in saying, I have seen love show up where there should have been none. I have witnessed forgiveness that didn't make any sense. I have heard good news when I wasn't even listening for it. That, friends in Christ, is Easter. So here's the hard truth. Most people are going to hear this Easter story and say, nah, that's a bunch of rubbish. Just like those apostles, the close disciples that first Easter morning. But we, As the faithful, the ones who know the story, we, like those first women on that first Easter Sunday, we are to proclaim. Resurrection is not made by, it's not made real by facts, it's made real by witness, by sharing the good news. So the question is, what will we, as followers of Jesus, proclaim? Where have we seen the resurrection in our daily lives? New life, unexpected grace, the impossible made real. Where have we looked for the living among the dead and been surprised? Because that's Easter. Not a neat conclusion, but a shocking beginning to the rest of the story. Not a final answer, but an invitation to proclaim what we have seen and heard and remembered. I leave you with this final thought, that this week I was reminded that so often I tell you that we are forgetful people and we need to remember, right? We need to be reminded. That's why we follow the arc of the story every 3 years in a cycle. We repeat it again and again. And at the high points like Christmas and Easter, we hear these stories and it's deeply embedded inside of us. We remember together because we are forgetful and we need to be reminded. I found it incredibly jarring this week to be reminded or to learn for the first time that the opposite of remember is not actually forget. Do you know what it is? Buckle your seatbelts. It's dismemberment, taken apart. Remember is quite literally to be put back together, to be made complete. May we remember that, yes, indeed, we are forgetful people. And without Christ Jesus, we're not quite complete. Jesus comes to make us whole and to remind us that we belong to God and we belong to one another. Alleluia and amen. Say it with me. Alleluia and amen. Thanks be to God. Let us sing our hymn of the month together. It's number 1033, and the lyrics will be on the screen. It's a short one, but a good one.